Fulton Hogan and Southern Aggregates. Afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for the original submissions and for your evidence, all of which we have read, so you don't need to read that out to us. But you're very welcome to highlight key points for us before we move to questions.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just highlight the main points. The evidence is relatively focused. So
yes, it is. Yeah.
the main points really relate to three areas: gravel extraction, temporary water takes for construction purposes, and clean filling. The main points I'd like to make around gravel extraction are really that the aggregate literally is involved in nearly all aspects of our day-to-day lives, although hidden mostly, and that the importance of this is not well highlighted in Southland's plans, but is indirectly recognised within the RPS as providing material for activities essential to the region's economic growth. River and land-based aggregate sources both play a role, and you know what's most appropriate often depends on distance travelled, the availability of supply, rivers, associated transport costs, locations, that sort of thing. The aggregate extraction is supported to some extent by the proposed objectives and policies in the land and water plan, a water and land plan, specifically policy 29, and I support the Fulton Hogan and Southern Aggregate submission explicit recognition of the value of aggregates could be included as part of this policy. I also think it should be expanded so as to address land-based quarrying activities, and that the list of criteria that are essentially caveats to undertaking the activity could prove unnecessarily restrictive, and that they should either be removed as sought through the submission or included as matters for which regard should be had, so which would then allow for some site-specific assessment of effects and benefits. In relation to temporary construction water takes, the plan provides as a permitted activity for small volumes of water to be taken. This sort of daily volume and rate is probably a little less than would be useful for construction purposes. And the submission suggests that that be lifted to 100 cube a day and 5 litres a second, which would essentially allow a tanker to fill for water, to dampen dust and the like, will be used in sort of road construction. The rationale put forward through the section 32 talked about intermittent impacts on surface water bodies, and while the overall sort of volumes taken would be higher, there'd be comparable pumping durations with the volumes and rates sought through that submission. But most importantly, I think the condition that requires 30% of the naturalised flow to remain the surface water body would remain as part of the proposed amendment to that rule, and therefore address sort of cumulative impacts of multiple takes. In terms of clean filling, what is clean fill is fairly well defined, and it's pleasing to see that the definition of clean fill is very consistent with MFE and Wastemin's guidelines in that regard. The important part of that definition is that when clean fill is discharged to land, it will have no or minimal adverse effects. In my view, that opens up the opportunity for a permitted or controlled activity status for clean filling. There were a number of effects associated with larger clean fills discussed in relation to a submission by Invercargill City Council in the Section 42A report, sediment losses, boundary effects and flood hazards. And my view is that there is either other provisions in the plan that can address this, or very minor adjustments to the conditions of the rule that would cover off those effects quite simply. and that would allow clean filling to occur as a controlled activity within this plan, which is a similar stance taken, for instance, in Canterbury. So that's the points I'd like to highlight. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for that. We'll see if we have questions for you, Lloyd.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in your evidence, point 29, I presume that's what you're asking for. You've got a couple of comments on the way through. And I'm thinking the wider picture for a number of people to take gravel, because as you and I both know, gravel, there's gravel and gravel. And some it's useful and some it's not. So if this drives our own behaviour, we go from people seeking gravel from easier places from a consenting point of view, but not necessarily the right place for the environment. But I'm just your point one, under your the maintain, enhancement of aquatic and riparian habitat, are you suggesting that should be part of the gravel consenting process to actually consider that and avoid that where necessary?
The policy 29, as notified, had the matters, which I've started to list there, continue, as essentially caveats to extracting gravel. And I guess my view is that the policy talks about avoiding, remedying, mitigating adverse effects when undertaking the activity. And at a level, I think that probably covers everything that it needs to do. I guess I was offering, because of the officer's response to the submission point about removing that, saying that those matters provided a strong link back to some of the objectives in the plan. I guess I felt that if it was seen that you couldn't let go of those matters, that rather than have them as absolutes, they could be a series of things to have regard to when considering effects. If that makes sense.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I think I understand the recommendations you make. The only thing that occurred to me when I read your submission was the quantities that you were taking, and raised a little question in my mind about how sustainable and how long the resource you expected to continue to supply at the levels you're extracting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the volumes could vary significantly, depending on demand, really.
Yeah.
I guess if it's a river extraction site, what's sustainable would have to be have to be measured by the amount of gravel coming through the system. And so there may be, through the consenting process, a requirement to have a look at that, whether the regional council has got some information based on its sort of flood management capabilities, as other regional councils do, that could contribute to that discussion. And whether it's whether there's advantages actually from a flood management perspective is another thing to consider. But in terms of what volumes, I mean, it could vary significantly, and that would have to be something that's looked at on a case by case basis. From a land extraction perspective, it's less sort of about a sustainable extraction and what's sort of available, I guess, and appropriate given. The impacts on nearby streams or groundwater.
So it's not something you're losing sleep over.
It's a deep thing, as it is. Yeah.
Right, thank you.
No questions from me, thank you.
Well, thank you. So I just want to go to policy 29 as well. Lloyd has already covered some of these things, but have you had a look at section 42A recommendations on policy 29?
I had, yes.
Yeah, so there's a recognition there of social, economic and cultural value of gravel.
Yes.
It sort of goes part way, does it, to meeting your suggested new additions to that?
It does, yes. And I think I tried to recognise that has occurred, or that recommendation has come through. And I think, you know, that it's a great step. Linking the use of the resource
right.
to well-being. I guess the the recommended sort of amendment in my evidence is to go slightly further and recognise the value of it in achieving those well-beings.
Okay. Then those 5 points underneath that you want to be struck out, can you give us some examples of how they are particularly problematic for your operation?
I think the point that I tried to make in my evidence wasn't necessarily that they would be problematic, but just that they might not be appropriate in all cases. And the way the policy was worded as notified had them essentially as a catalyst to undertaking the activity. And they're region-wide, which I think is, you know, could be appropriate on a site-by-site assessment. You know, riparian habitat may not be a particular consideration at a certain site, whereas the way the policy was notified, or as I read it, you would be required to maintain or enhance it regardless. So rather than they being problematic, I think it was the way that they were being applied, potentially being applied by that policy, that was problematic.
All right, no, I do understand what you're saying there now. Thanks very much.
Just 2 questions for me. The first one in relation to Rule 42 and clean fill sites. And you, in the submission and the evidence, you talk about Clause A, Romans 1, and the 500 cubic metres volumetric restriction.
Yes.
A submission from Kiwi Rail sought to amend that to be 500 cubic metres per calendar year. If we made that change, would that address your concern? Or go some way towards addressing it?
I'd actually have to check to see whether there was an operational constraint. Yes, I could have that.
Yep. Yeah, Kiwi Rail made the point that they might deposit that much in any one year, but
right,
over a number of years it would build up to be larger than that, so they didn't want an absolute cap of 500, but just an annual limit.
Yeah.
Would suit their needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess the only sort of thing I could, off the top of my head, to think of is if there was a, you know, I'm sort of casting my mind back to Canterbury earthquake-related matters at the moment, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it's slightly exceptional, but...
Yeah.
You
might need a consent.
But I can certainly check that from an operational perspective.
Yeah. And the second thing was just a comment in terms of taking in use of surface water from a river for road construction or maintenance activities. We've had a number of submissions on that, including a quite detailed submission from the Roading Company Limited, so we're already giving some thought to how Rule 49 might be amended to explicitly provide for that activity.
Right.
So it's a similar kind of issue that you're raising has been brought to our attention by others, and we're giving it some thought.
Very good, thank you.
But other than that, no further questions, and thanks very much for the detailed submission and evidence. It's helpful as always.